And I take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. If you got here for the Sunday school this morning, while you heard a good teaching message on faith, Brother Wesley, and, we appreciate that. And I didn't tell him what to teach on, and he didn't tell me what to preach on. But the Lord told us both what he wanted. So we just give it to him. I'm going to continue on somewhat with what he was on in a little different avenue, but along the same line on a test of faith. There's a lot of times that we're tested in our faith. So basically, the message this morning is going to be for our Christian folks, somebody that's already trusted the Lord for their Savior. The definition of faith here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it tells us what faith is. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So we have there a definition in one sense of what faith actually is. But verse number 2 says, "For by it," by the faith, "the elders obtained a good report." So the faith that the elders had, that it teaches through this chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, they taught the people some things, and they received a good report. So as we go through this message today, I'm going to let you grade yourself on how you do in looking at the faith that you are dealt with, the happenings in your life, and see how that you come out on this thing. Says here they received a good report. And if you look on over here to 39th verse in this chapter, and it has just been talking about a whole lot of different people, the Old Testament saints. And verse 39 says, "And these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." So all kinds of these folks that it was talking about there, they had a good report of faith. But the things that they was looking for in their lifetime, many of them didn't receive it. But they still had a good report, even though they didn't receive what they was looking for to receive. They finally did, but not in the lifetime that they was living. They didn't receive it. Dear Heavenly Father, help us this morning, Lord, as we look at your word. Give us wisdom, Lord, and understanding. Bring to our minds, Lord, what needs to be said. Help each one here, Lord, as their trials and testings comes up on them. Lord, that they'll be faithful and just keep looking to you. We'll thank you, Lord, for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'd like you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 14, and we want to get a verse or two here, and then we're going to go on. Yes, Ezekiel chapter 14. God, in writing his book, he wrote it the way he wanted it wrote. And he teaches us a whole lot through this book if we'll learn it. He uses individuals that he wants to teach lessons to the ones that's going to be coming along later, like us. And he used these individuals in the Bible to teach us something. And the 14th chapter of Ezekiel is dealing, of course, with Israel. It's dealing with the elders of Israel there, like the elders that we spoke about over in Hebrews 11. And he shows us something about this, and it's dealing with Jerusalem and what's going to happen to it, and is it going to get spared, and how's it going to get spared, and how's it going to spare Jerusalem and all this. And finally, he gets on down here Actually, he says it in verse 14, but we're going to drop on down here to verse 20, where he says practically the same thing again in Ezekiel 14:20. And he mentions three Old Testament saints. He says, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. In other words, as great as these men was, and you study this, and it says through Noah. And Noah actually overcame the world. And Daniel overcame the flesh. And Job overcame the devil. And that's the three problems that we have. The world, flesh, and the devil. And these three men, even though in the scriptures they overcame these things, they still can't help or save anybody else except just theirself. But there is a blessing that comes from them. If you'll turn on and look at the last verse in that chapter, and he's just talked about the things he's going to send upon the country there. But you look at verse 23, and it talks about these, and even though they couldn't save anybody, there's something that they could do with the people. The people could get some comfort out of looking at their lives on account of how they lived and how they came through all these things. Verse 23 says, and they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doing. And ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. So what he's saying here, he says, now you look at these men, and you can see here by what I brought up on them and what I allowed to happen to them and all these things that they went through, you can get comfort from that. Amen? Because you can look at that and you can say, well, he come through that. If he come through that, well, God helped him through it. Surely he'll help me through it too. Amen? A lot of folks think that when some bad something happened to them, you know, it just not happened to nobody else. You know? But it has. Amen? And he brought these things that I have done without cause, all that I have done in it, saith the Lord. Now I'd like for you to turn. We're just going to use one of these fellers. We can use any of them, but we're just going to use Job. I really like the book of Job. I preached out of it a lot, and I've preached on the line of this message before. And Job is a book that will help anybody in any time period if they'll let it. Amen? And let's read some here, starting right in the beginning of the book of Job. And we'll try to get started here. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now it says a whole lot about the man there in verse number 1. Of course it tells us, you know, how great a man he is. And he's perfect in the sense of outward appearance. He's upright and he fears God and he hates evil. That's some good traits. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 5,000 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and fasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their fasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Now, there's an interesting thing right there, and we're going to go on just in a minute, so keep your finger there. There is times that the sons of God must be supposed to present themselves unto God. Now, I don't know whether they're supposed to give an account of some things or not, because God knows everything anyway. But he has people and angels and cherubims and seraphims and different ones doing certain things. And we don't know what all God's got going on. And anyway, these was to come before the Lord, and for whatever reason. And Satan, of course, he presented himself also. Now, it don't say that he was called there, but he went ahead and presented himself also. Interesting thing there when the Lord asked him where he's been. And the statement that he says is interesting too. He says, going to and fro upon the earth. So he let him know it was upon the earth that he was doing it. See, he might be going to and fro in other places too. But here he's concerned with upon the earth and the people upon the earth. And so the Lord said then to Satan there in verse 8, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made an hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. There came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plying and the asses feeding beside them. And the sea beasts fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Chaldeans have made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now let's go over this just a little bit, and we'll get to the lesson that Job is to learn in this. Outwardly speaking, anybody that looked at Job couldn't find a fault in him. Amen. I mean, God told Satan that right off. And Job was that kind of man. He did have a problem, but he didn't even know his problem himself. We'll get to that after a while. But God had blessed him. And notice several things about this that is great lessons for us. One is that God does protect his people. And God does put a circle around us. And when I pray many times, even when I pray for the church and the church service, I pray something like this lots of times. I'll say, "Lord, draw a circle around this place and get the demons of hell out and bless what's inside." And the Lord listens to prayers when you're sincere. Amen. And the Lord had a circle drawn around Job and all of his possessions. Now, we know that by what Satan said, because Satan would have already destroyed him if he could have. Because he said, "Have thou considered my servant Job?" You bet he had. He'd considered him well, and he'd tried to get at him, because he knew why he couldn't get at him. He knew God wouldn't let him at him. And so you can rest assured that anything that happens, we learned this in Job also, Satan can just do to us what God will allow him to do. Now you might say, well, that still doesn't help all the problems I've got. We're going to cover that too here in a minute. So finally then, dealing with this thing, God tells Satan, okay, you're right. I've been protecting him. I've protected all his valuables, everything else, and his family. I'm letting the hedge down. You can go down there, and you can touch anything he's got except his body. Satan says, that'll do it. I'll take care of it. And he takes off. Now, we don't know the time element in this, but when Satan starts this thing then, once he starts it, it's real fast. I mean, it's just bang, 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 bang like that. Just one right after another. And as these things happen then to Job, why then, these people comes to him and tells him what's happened. And all these valuables that he's got, and he's rich. I mean, he has got everything. And all at once then, all of it is gone. Not just if you wrecked your truck. I mean, everything's gone. Amen. Your family's gone too. All your children is gone. This was a good family, a close-knit family. We can tell that by when the brothers had the birthday on their particular day. They always invited all the rest of their brothers and their sisters. So I guess 7 times a year, they had a birthday party for each other. And they always invited each other, and all of them was always coming, was always there, a close-knit family. And Job was the kind of father that is a blessed father. Even though he knew he had good kids, he still knew the devil, and he also knew young folks. And he said, it might be that they've sinned. I know they're good kids, but it might be they sinned. So he offers up a sacrifice. Like us, we'd offer up a prayer for our children. Say, well, they're living right, and they're living for God. Yeah, but every day, I don't know about you, but every day I name all of my family to God. Every day. And I think you should do that. Every day. Never miss a day. It's important. And that's what he does here. He sends up the sacrifice to God. Just in case they really need something that day. God needs to watch after them. But then Satan kills all them too. So we look at this thing, see, and we're trying to realize something here. And in this, we understand also that Job does not know what's going on. God did not come down and tell Job before he started this. He didn't say, now, Job, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to try you out, boy, and see how you fare through this stuff. No, Job had no idea what was coming until it hit. And see, when something happens in our life and something hits in our life and things is going along pretty good, you know, and all at once, bang, the whole thing falls apart. What do you need to learn through that lesson? Now, the first thing that Job had to learn here in facing the devil is he had to learn that there is no such thing as anything materialistic or anything earthly that's eternal. everything here, eventually, you're going to lose. Amen. You say, well, I'd rather lose it in the rapture and I leave and give it to somebody else. Yeah, we all would. But that's not the way it always happens. So Job had to learn here, and being in the hands of the devil, and that's where he's at. God put him in the hands of the devil and said, okay, devil, there he is. Do with him what you want to. And the devil sifted him as wheat. And he took everything that he had. Now, it don't matter if you're poor or you're rich or you're anywhere in between. When you lose everything that you've got, you know, if you're poor and don't have very much and you lose it, or if you're rich and have a whole lot and you lose it, what's the difference? You've done, you're still lost everything you got. Amen. Don't make any difference, does it? So see, I'm not talking to people here that's in a position like Job. I'm talking to people that's way down lower than that, you know. But still, if we lose everything that we've got, no matter what it is, lose all of it at once, and our family all at the same time, then how are we going to react? Amen? Job tore his clothes off of him, his mantle, and he sat down in the dust and ashes, and he worshiped God. He worshiped God. And he said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Well, in his first lesson, he passed with an A+. There's been a lot of times in folks' lives, and in mine and in yours, that we have never lost nothing like this. I don't know anybody that buried all their children at one time. I mean, personally, I don't. Now, I do some that just had one child because the child died, you know, and they had to bury the child. But not a situation like this, you see. There are some sad times that folks goes through. And how do you fare? I guess the worst one that ever happened to me was, a lot of you know about it, and my mom and my second mom here, I had four sisters, and Evie, she had three girls and one boy. So me and Ronnie was just like brothers, see. As seven girls and as two boys. And, you know, we were just like brothers, me and Ronnie. And I had a good dad. I mean, I loved him and he loved me. Anyway, when the accident happened, and there's no such thing as an accident, but we call it that, and God saw fit to take both of them at the same time, Daddy and Ronnie, I was a year older than Ronnie. I was 26 at the time. Ronnie's 25. And Dad was just 48. And God saw fit, for whatever reason that I didn't understand and still don't, to take both of them at the same time. Well, basically, you could say I lost my daddy and my brother at the same time. And I'll have to admit that I didn't fare near as good as Job did. I didn't get down and worship God. I was saved and I was living for the Lord. I wasn't preaching at that time, but I was saved and I was living for the Lord and trying to do right. And I didn't fare as good. I didn't get no A+. Now, I didn't curse God. I did ask him why, and a lot of questions, you know. And he didn't scold me for it. He didn't answer me. But what I'm saying here is, when something happens to you, my dear friend, There's tests of faith in your life that you are going to have to go through without you understanding it, without you knowing why it's happening, and what is even going on. But the test is going to come, and you are going to have to face it. And like I read you about these others, you know, the examples and what folks can learn by how that these other patriarchs stood and went through that thing. That's what the Bible, a lot of the Bible is for. It's for us, and when we're having some kind of little old problem, you know, that we have, and you're always going to have one. And if you don't have one, you probably have four or five. You know, it ain't just one and two. He usually jumps three or four and goes on up. And that's the way it goes, folks. And that's what's happening right here. But see, he had to learn some things. He had to learn that sometime in your life, God may take everything that you've got. You say, well, that's just not fair. Why? He gave you everything that you've got. It belongs to him anyway, don't it? Like the illustration I read one time about this feller. He's a real rich farmer out west, and this preacher had been dealing with him for a long time, and finally the guy gets saved. But he tells the preacher before he gets saved, he said, I can't get saved, because if I get saved, he said, I've got all this money and all this land and all this stuff, then I'd have to give this stuff to the Lord and everything, you know. He said, I can't get saved on account of that. But finally God convicts him and he does get saved. So he gets saved, sometime later after that, I don't remember all the details, I was reading this thing. He had a great big field something of wheat. The grasshoppers come in, he was somewhere else, they come in there and just wiped it out. Eat all of it, destroyed everything, all the wheat he had. And the preacher then heard about it, and he's over here, preacher, he wasn't out west then, and the preacher said, well, brother, said, I'm really sorry about that. And he said, well, preacher, said, it's like this, said, didn't you tell me that everything is the Lord's? He said, well, yeah. He said, well, all the animals is the Lord's too? He said, well, yeah. He said, well, when I got saved, I give everything to the Lord. Said, so if the Lord wants to feed his grasshoppers with his wheat, that's his business. You know, there's certain ways that you got to look at things sometimes, you know. And it depends on, see, because a lot of times you cannot control the circumstances around you. And you cannot control what's happening. Job couldn't control it. No matter how much money he had, all the power he had, everything, he couldn't control what's going on. I mean, the devil had more power than him because God gave it to him. God said, okay, devil, go ahead, do what you want to. So he learned then, in being in the hands of the devil, that he may take about everything you've got. But you got to realize that God allows that. And you can ask God anything you want to, and don't worry about what some preacher says. Well, you can't question God. God can handle your questions. Don't you worry about it. You ask him anything you want to, it's not going to disturb him all that much. Amen. He ain't going to get excited and all mad just because you asked him a question. Amen. Whether he answers it or not now is a different story. He may answer it and he may not. Amen. But you can ask him anything you want to. And I've asked him a whole lot of stuff that he hasn't answered yet. Amen. And years later, sometimes he does answer some things that I ask him way back under. So Job learned some things here. But he took it well. Amen. He took it real well. Now let's go on. See, after that, sometimes something like this happens, it's not done yet. Sometimes these problems in life lingers on. They don't just hit and they're over with. Amen. Now, Job's already in bad shape here. But in the last part of chapter 1, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And again in chapter 2, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Now, I don't know the time element in this, but it happened again. Lord said unto Satan, "From whence cometh thou?" Satan answered the Lord, and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth forth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause?" Make sure and get that. Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." The Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot until his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. So right here, the same thing in a sense is happening again, except it's going to get more dramatic. So far, all Job has lost is everything except anything physically touching him. Now he's lost his children, which of course is touching him, but it's still not a physical pain, you know. Now he's got that. And so I've looked at this thing and tried to study maybe what that is. I realize, you know, that in the tribulation time, leprosy and all that's going to come back again. And you're dealing with boils, and some says this is a type of leprosy, and you know, it could be. But anyway, he had boils all over him. And he took him a piece of broken pottery, sat down in the ashes there, like which represents among the dead. And he's sitting there probably to scrape the scabs and the pulse off of them things. You know, you say, "Ooh, that sounds terrible." It'd sound worse than that if it was you doing it to yourself. Amen. And he's doing it to himself. And he's going through this thing, you see. And so far now, he still retains his integrity. Amen. And the next verse down here in verse number 9, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." Now the integrity is your morals, your honesty, your decency, your decent character, this type of thing. That's what you're, what he's talking about here, integrity. It's really what you are. It's not what people think you are, it's what you really are. And he's still what he's supposed to be. And he's still showing that forth so far. Amen. And of course, his wife here turns against him also. "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips." Going through all of this, still, he did not curse God. He did not blaspheme against the Lord. He didn't even ask the wrong questions. Amen. He's still standing right. Now, I realize, and all of us here has had some physical pain. Now, it's bad enough to lose, you know, something out here, you know, your house burned down, whatever, you know. It's bad enough to lose stuff like that, and that hurts you, and that's bad. Amen. And it's bad enough, you know, to lose a child or lose your wife or your husband or something. All that stuff is terrible and hard on you. But when it comes right down, just like the devil told God here, when it comes right down to skin for skin and bone for bone, when it comes right down to your aches and your pains, that's what'll get to you. The devil's right. He said, just let me at him. God said, all right, big boy, go ahead. It makes you wonder when you're thinking about things like this, you know, that suffering that folks do. I know God knows everything, and God allows to happen to people what he really knows that they can stand up under. I realize a lot of times also that maybe the people don't know what they can stand up under. But Job is finding out what he can stand up under. But then the scene is fixing to change. See, there's three scenes in this. And the first is the devil, and the next one is man, and the next one is God. So this next one is man. So Job's got some friends. Amen. And so now God is going to put him in the hands of man. He's already been in the hands of the devil, and he passed, brother. And now God's going to put him in the hands of man. He's going to be facing man, and what man will throw at him, and see how he comes out on this deal. Amen. And so these three friends comes there, and they said, we're going to go and comfort Job. And their motive was right, no doubt. And they get there, and they see him sitting out there, and he's in so bad a shape that they're looking at him, and they sat there for 7 days without saying a word. And I've thought about that a lot, you know, and I'm thinking, well, you know, he looks so bad. I know they recognized him because they knew who he was. But it took them a long time to figure out what to say. And they sat there, you know, for 7 days. The best comfort that they gave him was them 7 days. Amen. Just sitting there saying nothing. That was a whole lot better comfort than when they started talking. Amen. Which we'll see here in a minute. I remember some things, you know, these things that happens in your life that you don't think much about maybe at the time, but I remember when Dad got killed at this one man, friend of mine, came to the house, and he came over there, and was all our moms, and you know, and he come up and said a few words like you always do, you know, you try to find something to say, which is, there's not anything to say anyway, especially in a situation like that. I mean, what you got to say? I mean, I know, because I've been doing it for 40-something years, trying to find the thing to say when I have to go to somebody's house and deal with all that stuff. I've done it so much that I don't even know what to say yet. Amen. But different situations is different. He come up to me and he talked a little bit, and he said, anything I can do for you? And I said, no, I don't reckon I need anything right now. And here's what he said. It really, later years, I thought of so much that done me probably more good than anything else. He said, well, he is an older feller. He said, well, son, if you need anything, he said, I'll be sitting right over there. So you see, sometimes the comfort that somebody gives you is not so much what they say. It's just they saying, if you need me, I'll be here. And mean it. And that's what these three friends here started out doing. Being right, starting out. But it changed. And so what they done, see, is finally when they started all these conversations, now this thing goes on from chapter 3 all the way through chapter 37. I mean, 35 chapters, you know, it's got conversations and going backwards and forwards, you know. And You know, after a while, you know, while they start telling Job, well, Job, the reason that this is happening to you is because you sinned. And the reason God took your children, you know, is because you're such a big hypocrite. I mean, that's the way the conversation went, brother. Just putting it down in a nutshell. And let me tell you something, folks. When you see a brother or sister that's going through a trial or a testing, you better watch what you say. You better watch what you even think. Especially what you say. And bless your heart, just like a brother said down here in Sunday school some this morning. We shoot our wounded. If it's one thing that we are good at as independent Baptists, it's not understanding. It's not even trying to understand. It's just saying, boy, I wonder what he done to cause himself all them problems. Now, listen to me. Sometimes he did do something to cause himself them problems. Or she did one. I'll grant you that. And many times that is the problem. And a lot of our punishment and a lot of problems that we have, we bring on ourselves and we cause it. I'll grant you that. But you better be careful looking at somebody else and throwing it toward them because you do not know. God is running this thing. Amen. And they may be going through some kind of testing that God is testing them for something out here that he's got for them to do out here later. And as they come through that thing, see, and then they're hardened to it, then they can handle it. God has to put, they schools that we go through, brother. I never went to Bible school, but I sure have been to school. I tell you what, I've been to school. The Lord has sure put me through some trials and testings. And mine's just little old tiddly bits. I sure don't want to be standing next to Job at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Absolutely not. But anyway, he has to learn some things here. Now, what can you learn going through something like this? What can you really learn on this stuff? Well, what you learn is you learn that there's something in you that's wrong that you don't know's there yet, but you're fixing to find out. And that's what happened to him, see. See, Job was self-righteous. Now, even though the things that Job said through these 30-something chapters, you're dealing with these guys, the things that he said, he still told the truth and was saying them right. And when he was talking about all them things that he done, helping them people, done all this, he really done that. When he gave to the poor, when he done all that stuff and helped all, hey, that was something he actually did. And he done it for the right reason. And he was right doing it, amen. So when he was answering these guys, he out-talked every one of them. All three of them. His answers was better than any of their questions. But see, sometimes you'll get put under a boss or working beside some reprobate, you know, that you've got, the reason this stuff happens to you a lot of times is you've got to find out what you really are. What have I got? What can I do? How can I stand the test? Can I really go through this thing? Can I really stay true to God for all that? Am I the witness I should be? You're going to find out, brother. And God will put you in positions like that so you can find out really what's inside you. Now, God already knows what's inside you, but sometimes you don't. And, listen, nothing is proven until it's tested. Same way with our faith. It's not proven, really, until it's tested. Now, God gave you enough faith to get saved. But faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And there's a whole lot of growing in faith after you get saved, brother. I mean, it's going to take some time, and it's going to take some trials, and it's going to take some testing. And you say, well, I just don't particularly like this message. I don't either. But that's beside the point. Amen. That's just the way it is. Amen. He got this book in 42 chapters, man. I mean, when he's going to put something in here this long for 42 chapters, there's got to be a whole lot in it for somebody. It's not just no story. It's a real happening of a real man that went through this realistic, these real things that happened to this particular man and how he come out in this thing. And he come out good on this one. Amen? I mean, he come out good. I realize that some of the stuff that he dealt with on this stuff, dealing with these guys, well, you know, he may have got upset and all this kind of things with them. And he did, you know. He said, miserable comforters are y'all. You know, and all this stuff, you know. And there's time going through your life that sometimes, you know, you... we all know, bro, folks, turn over to chapter 38. We all know, folks, that, you know, we're not always as godly as we seem. You know, amen. We don't always, you know, hold out the way we should. Your thoughts, of course, is bad, too, sometimes. And I know this is just like you do. I mean, I've had to deal with some of that stuff, just like you have. I mean, I worked construction for years and years and years, an evil bunch, you know, on them things. I mean, just evil, wicked. All the talk that they ever talk about when you're working around them is always bad. You know, and most of the time, there's none of them is Christians and saved, you know. And you put up with that stuff, and, you know, and wicked, and sometimes, you know, you just want to, yeah, you know what you want to do. And that's what you think about sometimes. You know, pick up a 2x4 and get this guy's attention, you know. But, you know, you can't do it that way, even though you want to. Amen. But Job, dealing with his friends, even though some of his statements to them might have been, you know, a little bit harsh in a sense, God will allow that. Amen. He'll allow that. He made us Christians, and he wants us to get along with all men as is possible, of course, and these kind of things, you know. But still, he wants us to be meek, but he don't want us to be weak. And he allows, you know, to stand up. Amen. So sometimes, you know, you sell your books and buy a gun. You know, I mean, it just depends on the situation. You know, amen. But anyway, here Job is, and things is going along pretty rough, to say the least. And finally then, he done been in the hands of the devil. And he learned that lesson. And now he's been in the hands of man. And he's not quite learned that lesson yet. God tried to show him this through the hands of man in dealing with man, but he didn't quite get it. And so now in verse number 30, in chapter number 38, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. So you got to get the picture here. Here's Job now, and he's still sitting here in this ash heap, scratching the boils, all this time, and all this junk laying around here. You know, he's in a garbage dump. You know, I mean, that's basically where he's at. And he hears something behind him. And he looks around, and here comes a whirlwind. And Job says to himself, that's all I need. It's whirlwind whooping through here and knocking me around, all this stuff, you know. He said, that's all I need, a whirlwind. And God steps out of it and says, good morning, Job. How's things going? Amen. Job says, well, it has been better, God. God said, I got a few questions for you, about 35 to start out with. And said, girt them lawns up like a man. Said, play the man, buddy. Said, I'm going to ask you some questions. And answer me if you can. So he goes through about 35 questions here. And Job don't answer one of them. He can't answer none of them. Now, the time he gets done, he asks more than that, but he asks about 35 to start with. And he adds about 10 more a little later, but he asked him all these questions, you see, and there's a great stuff to learn on it. But anyway, after asking him all these things, look over at chapter 40. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproves God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, it's time now for him to say a little something. He said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, same thing again, gird up thy loins now like a man. And I'll demand of thee and declare thou unto me. So finally then, after a while, Job finally speaks and answers. And he said, well, God said, I've been shooting my mouth off for quite a while back down through here. He said, but I don't have anything else to say. Said, I'm done. I don't have nothing to say. I put my hand over my mouth and I'm going to say, shut up, Job. I done said all I know to say. I remember, I might have told you this before, Brother Jim White, a lot of you knew him. He's a real good friend and a mess of a preacher. And he'd come up with some of all the stuff. And one time him and some more preachers was going to this radio station and they was going to preach for some kind of benefit something. And the radio station gave them, I think, 4.5 hours. So him and a bunch of other preachers was supposed to meet there and preach all that 4.5 hours, just straight through 4.5 hours. And Jim's a talker now. I mean, he could talk and he could preach and he could just go on and on and on. And he went there and he's the only one showed up. And he's telling about this thing, you know. He said, he's the only one showed up. Nobody else showed up. So he thinks, well, I'll get in here and start preaching, and after a while, some of them will come on in. None of them never did come in. So he said he preached for 4.5 hours. He said, I preached everything I knowed, and some things I wasn't sure about. And he said, then I made up some stuff. He said they had to come in there and change a sponge on that little old thing 2 or 3 times. I was slobbered on it so much. He said, when I got done and walked out of there, he said it took me 15 minutes just to think of something to say. So that's about like Job is here, you know. Job been talking so much to them other fellas, you know, for all that time, however long it was, you know, 35 chapters. And now he's to the point that he's facing God, and that's a whole different situation. I mean, when you're talking to man, you figure, well, he just like I am. He ain't no count. He's a sinner just like me. And that's the way we think about it. And that's true. But when you're talking to God, it's a whole different ball game. Amen. And so God comes in and he deals with him through all this stuff. And Job, finally then, he sees himself. When you're faced with God, you're going to see yourself, because here you are, see. The devil didn't turn him down. And man didn't turn him down. Amen. Man couldn't straighten him out. But when he is faced with God and he lines himself up with the Lord, that's a different situation to line yourself up with somebody else. I mean, you can line yourself up with anybody you can think of and convince yourself you're as good as they are, maybe better. Now, you might be and you might not be. But in the situation with God, there's no contest. Amen. And so finally, here's what he says. This winds this thing up in chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no fault can be withheld from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. He said, I said a whole bunch of stuff and I didn't know what I was talking about. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. There's a true conviction. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. He stripped himself right here of his self-righteousness. He finally realized his problem. See, he had this problem all his life, and he really didn't even know he had it. You say, a man can't have that. He can. The problem with you and me and everybody else is there's something wrong with us a lot of times that we won't admit that's wrong. Even when you hear it from God, Holy Spirit, out of His Word, whatever, and God uses somebody to present it to you, and you well, that's not me. I mean, he's talking about old so-and-so over. That couldn't be me. Now, there ain't none of us that's going to stand up and say we're holier than thou. I mean, we're not that stupid, you know. There is some people that is that dumb, but I don't think there's none sitting here, you know. But what you do is you look at the Lord instead of someone else. Now, Job had to do something here that finally turned the whole situation around. Now, you got to imagine this. What Job had to do, God then spoke to them other three men, and he told them what to do. He said, take a sacrifice and offer it up, but go down there and ask Job to pray for you, and then I'll accept you, sacrifice. He's telling these other guys that. So what Job had to do then was pray for them fellers that gave him such a rough time all that time. Amen. God was not going to turn the captivity of him around until Job prayed for them guys. And that's what he had to do. Amen. He tells them to go in verse number 8, go to my servant Job. They went then, and in verse number 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So Job wasn't really right with God and get everything right down the way it's supposed to be until he could pray for the ones that give him a rough time. You see what I'm talking about, folks? Going through this life down here, Christian life is tremendous. Living for God is just great. But there are some lessons, folks, that you're going to have to learn going through this life. How you doing so far? We started out there by faith. They received a good report. Well, how's your report and troubles and things in your life? When the devil jumps on you. When you have to face all these problems with people. When you're dealing with God Himself. How do you fare? Amen. You are tested on your faith. Amen. Job was tested. And Job turned out really well. Amen. I mean, he turned out well. Now, this last one he failed. But you're always going to fail when you're facing God. You know, but if you can pass the other two, you've done real well. Amen? You've done real well. I'm going to read you two or three verses. We're going to close. Brother was in James this morning. Not a lot to turn over there. You know, it says, remember the patience of Job, in James 5, verse number 11, I believe it is. Romans 8 and verse 18 says this, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The suffering that you're going through, folks, it's just not worth even, getting all excited about. You know? I mean, during the time of suffering, it's not no fun. And it's rough. I mean, I don't know. I've seen some people go through some things. And I've sat and watched them, you know, suffer and go through some things. And I mean, go through it well and good. And I've sat there and watched it, you know, and think, I just don't know where I can do it or not, Lord. But if I'm faced with it, I sure hope I can. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more excellent and eternal weight of glory." Now, Paul is writing this at a time when he's really been doing some suffering, brother. Our light afflictions. Actually, they just about beat him to death about five times and all this stuff, being in jail and all this, you know. Our light afflictions. I'll read you one more and we'll close. Over in the last part of Acts chapter 5, this is where they was taken out and beaten because they was preaching. And they departed from the presence of the council, which after the council worked them over, you know, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now, ain't that something? They went away after their suffering and after their meeting, Paul here, and rejoicing that they was counted worthy to suffer for the Lord. That's a hard thing, folks. There's some verses in this Bible that's just very, I'd like to cut them out. So you shouldn't say that, preacher. Why? I mean, might as well be honest. God allows some folks